I walked into the room, silent, holding my arms. Shivering, I pulled the hood of my sweatshirt closer to my neck in a feeble attempt to lock in some of my fleeting body heat. Backpacks lined the aisleway between the cramped rows of desks in Mr. Hoberg's room. It was 11th period, and I was running low on energy and patience. I only had 6 hours of sleep in my tank, and I was almost out. I sat down in my seat and got out my binder. Flipping to the page on compounds, I tried to remember what little chemistry knowledge I had lost in the car crash and in the concussion. My seatmate Sarah hadn't been in school all day, so I spread my junk out on her desk too. Quiet, I thought to myself, the room is actually quiet. A small smile spread across my face. The happy feeling sprinted from my body like prey running from predator when the group from the boys' gym class swaggered in. For good reason, too. These are the guys who make fun of you, your mom, and your family just for the heck of it. They seek attention and don't care what it takes to get it. If you're in their way, they knock you down, and if you're hurt, they really don't care. So the noise level in the room rose to almost unbearable levels. My daily headache returned, the pounding in my head beating like an incessant drum. I tried to go back to studying chem, but it was virtually impossible. Mr. Hoberg called for everyone's attention, and there was temporary calm. He turned around to write something on the board, and a boy in the front row turned around to flick off his friend in the back of the room. The room broke into hysterics, like always, and Mr. Hoberg turned around. He doesn't even need to ask who it was, only stare at the boy in the front row who has given poor Mr. Hoberg a hard time since the first day of the year. I expected the boy to say something sarcastic with the word Gucci in it, but all he did was smile, knowing Mr. Hoberg couldn't prove anything because his back was turned. Honestly, I just want to smack him sometimes to shake him out of this illusion he's built for himself where he thinks this whole act is worthwhile. You could do so much better, I thought to myself. Why are you doing this? Mr. Hoberg is such a nice guy, always willing to give second chances and trying to push kids to be their best. He really believes that we're truly bright and have the power to conquer anything we put our minds to. Some people take his kindness for granted, however, like the kid in the front row. They push the limits and test the boundaries. I wouldn't be able to take it. Teaching academic chemistry isn't easy. I respect Mr. Hoberg for his tolerance and patience. I think he may be one of my most influential teachers ever. Kids mess with him a lot, by not giving into any of their shenanigans or getting frustrated, just working through and fixing the problem calmly, we actually learn. Most teachers have given up on these kids by this time of the year, but his perseverance is what makes him one in a million and is what makes an impact on our lives. Even if they don't say it, everyone, and I mean everyone, respects Mr. Hoberg. Mr. Hoberg explained the activity and broke us into groups of four. Figures, I get stuck with a princess prima donna Kara and a class clown without a filter, Dom, rather than any of my friends. The only person in my group who I can actually stand for an extended period of time is Jared, my old lab partner, and I hadn't even talked to him since the first 9 weeks. I made small talk with my group members, you know, just some polite comments here and there. Do you want me to grab the whiteboard? Where do you guys want to sit? Wow, that's a nice shirt. Where did you get it? Dom and Kara sat down in a row behind me, and Jared in the seat next to me, while the two behind us flipped out their iPhones to check the 4 Snapchats they'd received in the past 20 seconds, I shifted my glance to observe Jared. From his hair to his complexion to his facial features, he reminded me of an exact lookalike from the guy who plays Patrick in The Perks of Being a Wallflower. His normal diamond studs had been replaced by emeralds, and his nails were painted a deep red. While I did find it a little strange, I found myself thinking that I liked the color more than anything else. He sat there, head down, just staring at the desk. I didn't have to be a mind reader to know that he didn't want to be there, or at least just not with us. Our activity turned out to be a review game of the material we had learned before break. While Kara and Dom get annoying sometimes, they're two of the more tolerable people in the class, and the three of us work well together. We can't really keep a casual conversation going for more than 10 minutes, but put our heads together and we can get the exact chemical equation of almost anything you throw our way. I can't explain why, there's just something easy about working with them. The first couple of rounds go perfectly. The problems were easy, and we were done with plenty of time to spare. Kara wrote her name all over the whiteboard in big fancy scroll. Erase, write it again. Erase, write it in a different font. Erase, write it, and draw a picture of a dog next to it. I watched her doodle to pass the time, breathing through my mouth, trying not to let the marker fumes get to me too much. An Expo marker in the hands of a bored teenage girl can be a powerful weapon. Kara passed the whiteboard to Dom, who balanced a binary compound with ease. Next round, I offered to write. Mr. Hoberg changed the slide, and the new equation appeared. Great, I thought to myself. Of course I get the longest one. Looking at the equation I knew was probably easier than it looked, I groaned. Come on, Mr. Hoberg. I don't have the mental strength for this. Dom handed me the whiteboard with a smile. Have fun, he said sarcastically. Oh, thanks, I gave the sarcasm right back. I've known Dom since sixth grade, so this friendly conversation isn't unnatural. It's just uncommon. We used to talk every day in middle school about the pens, the weather, and what we'd be doing in Mr. Fontana's class every day. He even dated one of my best friends for a little bit. But then high school hit and things changed. He got mixed up in the wrong crowd and was swept away in the excitement of popularity. Now the only time we seem to talk is when we work together, and that's not even that often. I do see little glimpses of my old friend sometimes, when he gives a genuine smile or tries to talk to me about rowing. Try being the key word there. But those little glimpses are only sometimes, and for the most part, I have to deal with the idiot he's become. We ended up getting the equation right, and while we waited for the rest of the class, mainly just one group who was messing around, to catch up, I experienced Dom's crowning moment of idiocy, a moment that will forever change the way I look at him and think about him. He looked over at his friend Ian and asked, "Hey Ian, what does it mean when a guy has only one ear pierced?" Ian looked directly at Jared and smirked. "It means they're a faggot." The word cut through the silence of our tiny group like a dagger, out of the earshot of Mr. Hoberg. Just the harsh, vindictive way he said it sent shivers down my spine. I instinctively turned to look at Jared, wondering how he reacted. He stared at Ian, the plain written all over his face and reflecting in his eyes. I feel bad about this now. I probably did the worst thing imaginable by looking at him, my reaction mistakenly reflecting a possible agreement with Ian. I sat there frozen with rage. Jared, I know for a fact, has never done anything to antagonize Dom or Ian, or anyone else for that matter. He is always willing to help, listen, or give advice. What makes them think they can just cut him down like that? What makes them so special? Are they aware of how much pain just one little word can cause? I had to restrain the urge to give them a piece of my mind. Needless to say, I did not utter another word for that entire class period. When the bell rang, I was gone. I used to believe there was a small part of good in each person, but now I'm not so sure. I've always known there were lots of fake people in this world, but I think this was the straw that broke the camel's back. I'll never be able to look at my old friend the same way again, nor give him the title of friend easily. I'm so blindsided that he, of all people, could be that cruel. I thought if you believed in a person and that they were truly good on the inside, they might surprise you and do the right thing when needed, but I guess I'm wrong. Some people just don't get it, just think life is all about them and their needs. Cutting down and using people is a necessity to get what you want. After all's fair in love and war, and everyone loves to get what they want. But money doesn't make you happy, nor does a reputation or an image. At the end of the day, it's the people that love you and that you love that give you the most happiness. But if we keep pushing away our real friends, the ones who actually care about us, we are going to be left with nothing.